How to Deal with the Airing. St. Helena, California, October 26, 1904. I have been given a message for some in Nashville. I have not strength to write out all the instruction given me, but I will try to write out that upon which my mind is most deeply exercised. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Matthew 5, verse 23-24. This instruction calls for careful thought and prayerful self-examination. Those who submit to the sacred rite of baptism pledge themselves, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to live the life of Christ. They are not to foster the natural temperament or cherish natural inclinations. They have been buried with Christ in baptism, wherein also the Apostle declares, "Ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Colossians 2, verse 12-13. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, shining with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Colossians 3, verse 1-4, 12-16, 23-25. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Matthew 18, verse 15-17. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Verses 21 to 35. As the heavenly messenger spoke these words, solemn representations passed before me of scenes that had been transacted in Nashville. The efforts that had again and again been made to adjust difficulties were delineated. The Lord worked on hearts so that they were subdued and broken. The melting love of God came into the heart of the one who had been involved in difficulty, but who under the circumstances regarded himself as injured in some way. I was in Nashville at the time that efforts were being made to settle this difficulty, and I designed to meet the persons concerned, but learned that the matter had been settled. Whatever Brother Palmer's offense, he did all in his power to remove the difficulty. I understood that everything was arranged, that all had united, that they were standing where nothing of the kind would trouble them again, that everything had been harmoniously settled, and that the blessing of God had been received in large measure. This was as it should be. If the Holy Spirit worked to remove the impressions that had been made on the mind of Brother Landis, why should Brother Landis grieve God by cherishing an unforgiving spirit? It is no longer Brother Palmer whom he is refusing to forgive. It is the Holy Spirit that he is rejecting. Satanic influences have again prevailed. The one who has broken his covenant with God and cast his words behind him is pursuing an unchristlike course of action. God has made a propitiation for the sins of everyone. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John 1, verse 29. From those who repent and confess their sins, he removes the guilt of transgression, delivering them from the punishment of the broken law. If a brother in the church commits a wrong and then confesses his sin and does all in his power to make wrong right, he has done his part, and his brothers and sisters in the church should not refuse to come into unity with him. Should they refuse, they would be committing an offense against God, entering upon a warfare against the one who has taken upon his own soul the transgression of the repentant sinner. If the one who has offended humbles himself and confesses his sins, his brethren are to show a kind, tender, Christ-like spirit in dealing with him, saying, Christ has pardoned my transgressions, and why should I not forgive my brother? When this is done, unity comes in, and the Spirit of Christ sets his seal to the work. When one refuses to forgive, he lets temptation enter his soul. His heart becomes full of hatred, and his determination not to come into unity, but to keep up strife, grows stronger and stronger. Let such a one be suspended from church fellowship until he will heed the words of the great teacher. The sin-bearer, in his death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Our salvation has been wrought out by Christ's death on the cross. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 18-19. Christ has said plainly that if one brother gives offense to another and then confesses his wrong, he is to be freely and fully forgiven and is to be treated as if the wrong had never been done. Read the prayer that Christ taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6, verse 9-15.
Is it not a very weighty matter with which we are dealing? Shall not this case now before the Nashville Church be to them a valuable lesson? The service offered to God by one whose heart is filled with a spirit of hatred is not acceptable to him. Those who cherish hatred show that they have not the pure, refined, ennobling spirit of the Master. Those who are so easily offended, so quick to take offense, are not controlled by the Spirit of Christ. Those who show an unforgiving spirit when a mistake has been made become themselves double and triple offenders. Let our brother understand that he who will not forgive an offense after confession of wrong has been made is settling his own case before the heavenly universe and before unbelievers. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 15. An unforgiving temper will find no place in heaven. He who gives place in his life to such a temper acts out the mind and will of Satan. Let us remember that the church militant is not the church triumphant. The children of God, in their dealings with one another, are to reveal Christ's patience, his tenderness, his sweetness of disposition. This morning I heard the message to the church in Nashville. You have individually a work to do before you can stand blameless before God. There are many who need to be converted and to confess their lack of unselfishness, of love, of kindly interest in one another. The instructor of the church declared, "You are living in the great day of atonement. Every man is to confess his sins before God and those whom he has wronged. Each has a work to do to cleanse the mind and purify the soul. Upon those who leave this work undone, the day of the Lord will come unawares, and their candlestick will be removed out of its place." There is a solemn work before those church members who, though they have had great light, desire to humiliate those whom they suppose have erred, refusing to pardon them. Such ones take the love of God out of their hearts and place hatred there instead. In the place of trying to heal, they wound and bruise the souls that need their help and sympathy, their forgiveness, and their prayers. "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Ezekiel 18, verse 23. "But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity,
and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Verses 24 to 27. The Lord will receive all who will turn from their evil ways with a sincere desire to do his will. He who holds the beginning of his confidence firm unto the end shall save his soul in obedience to the law of God. No matter how high a position a man may occupy, if he does wrong in spirit or word or act, he is to repent before God and take up every stumbling block out of the way, small or great, that he is placed in the path of others. Those who comply with the conditions that God has laid down and follow in the path that Christ has marked out may have the assurance that at last the gates of the city of God will open to them. Those who know Christ with an experimental knowledge will not misrepresent him. They will wear his yoke, learning from him to be meek and lowly.
I have a message for the believers in Nashville. Let your hearts be refined, purified, ennobled, and then your influence for good will be far-reaching. Men will take knowledge of you that you have been with Christ, that you have the faith which works by love and purifies the soul. I tell you in the name of the Lord that this faith is wanting among you. You need to seek the Lord Jesus and do his will, else you will enter into temptation. The love of self will crowd out the love of Jesus, and working on selfish plans, you will form selfish characters. Heed the words of the Savior. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. So shall he be my disciple. See John 15, verse 8. Keep the great example ever before you. Confess your own sins, but do not think that you have to confess the sins of your brethren and sisters. You have in your possession a divine directory containing truths of eternal interest. Study this book. Follow on to know the Lord. By constantly beholding Christ, you will be changed into his image from glory to glory. God says to each one of you, walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 17, verse 1. The true Christian will walk in the path that God has marked out. The self-righteous follow in a path of their own choosing. Following a wrong pattern, they see many deformities in others, when in reality, far more objectionable deformities exist in their own character.